The U.S. Supreme Court today hears arguments in a First Amendment case against Nike, the world's largest manufacturer of athletic equipment and apparel. At issue is whether false statements made in a public relations campaign are commercial speech for which the company may be punished. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
Nike shoes and other products are produced by some 600,000 foreign workers employed by subcontractors in 51 countries around the world. In the mid-1990s, reports by news organizations and human rights groups charged that some of those workers were paid substandard wages and subjected to sweatshop conditions. One of the main sources of information about these conditions was an internal Nike report that was leaked to the press. In response, Nike embarked on a major PR campaign to save the company's image. It hired former UN Ambassador Andrew Young to conduct a new review of its practices, and Young, while finding some faults, generally gave the company a clean bill of health. Nike took out full-page ads trumpeting that conclusion. It distributed pamphlets. It wrote letters to the editor and op-ed pieces, all in aid of holding on to its image as a good public citizen. Enter Mark Caskey, a California activist who filed a lawsuit under California's unfair trade and false advertising laws, both of which allow citizen lawsuits to remedy false or misleading trade practices or advertising. Nike tried to head off the lawsuit, claiming it was unconstitutional since it sought to regulate not advertising about products, but speech in a larger sense, speech in this case about labor and globalization. But the California Supreme Court ruled that Nike's PR campaign was commercial speech, that if proved to be false or misleading, could be penalized. Nike appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, where today Harvard Law professor Lawrence Tribe will make the company's case.
General claims designed to make the speaker look good are the kinds of statements that are made all the time by anyone, and if for every one of those statements you can be held strictly liable for any misstatement, then we're off to the races, and the chilling effect on critical speech that it's valuable for the public to hear becomes very, very great.
Neither Mr. Caskey nor his lawyers returned repeated phone calls about their case. In papers filed in the Supreme Court, they allege that Nike made false and misleading statements when the company claimed that it did not abuse workers, that it complied with local environmental and occupational health laws, that it provided free health care for workers, and that it paid twice the minimum wage in the countries where it operated. California, backed by 18 other states, argues that these kinds of claims are as much about selling shoes in the modern marketing world as actual claims about price and quality. California Assistant Attorney General Ron Ryder contends, for example, that Nike cultivated an image as a company that cared about women. So when it faced charges that women who made its shoes were grossly mistreated, it undertook a campaign to recast its image. Nike's PR campaign, says Ryder, had nothing to do with some grand debate about globalization, as it claims.
What we're really dealing with here is how Nike orchestrated a publicity campaign to get people to start buying its shoes again.
Alan Morrison of the consumer advocacy organization Public Citizen points to Nike's letters to 100 colleges where the company was seeking to market athletic gear and to obtain endorsements.
They sent the letter to the athletic directors and the presidents with the purpose of lulling their fears and telling them it's okay to buy Nike products. That may not be in a paid advertisement, but it's very, very close to it. Nike is seeking, in effect, a get-out-of-jail-free card. We aren't responsible for what we say, no matter what we said, no matter how false it was or how much we knew it not to be the case.
Nike is not asking for a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Professor Tribe counters that the California law is so broad that it would subject Nike or any other corporation to almost unlimited liability. And even if the company eventually were to win, it would first have to spend millions of dollars on defending itself at trial.
If you manage to say anything that any one of 34 million citizens can find any fault with, and all they have to do is find a law firm to represent them. I mean, that is really open season on speakers simply because they are committing the sin of trying to improve what people think of them so that they can earn more money.
As Public Citizens Alan Morrison observes, though, the rules for commercial speech cases are stricter than the rules for non-commercial speech, in part because in a commercial speech case, the speaker is talking about his own conduct and knows or is able to find out easily what is and is not true.
All of these are purely factual claims that Nike has within its power to verify.
Nike's Professor Tribe counters that under the California law, even unintended errors can conceivably subject a corporation to all kinds of uncertain punishments, from possibly disgorging ill-gotten gains to being forced to publicly correct its errors. A decision is expected by summer. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.